Kilayim, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud, 9-10, and the final Mishnah, Maseches Kilayim. This Mishnah has three totally separate topics, the first of which is ask the question, if you have a, let's say, woolen garment, and you have some bit of linen sewn into it, but that linen that's sewn in is just temporarily sewn in, and even if it's non-essential or non-functional to the garment, it still nevertheless constitutes Kilayim, and one would not be allowed to wear that woolen garment until one removes that bit of linen thread that's sewn in. So the case that it gives is the case of osos hagarden va'osos hakovsin, which literally means the letters or signs of the weavers and the letters or signs of the launderers. The idea being, when you give your clothing over to be laundered by the launderer, he would, let's say it was a woolen garment, he would sew in like a temporary stitch that has your initials on it or something, with, let's say, for argument's sake, linen thread into the woolen garment. His plan, of course, is as soon as that's just to identify your clothes from the other clothes while he's washing them, or if the weaver when he's making them, and then when the, let's say, washing is done, he would remove that linen thread from the woolen garment, take out your initials, just temporarily there. But notwithstanding, asuris mushum kilayim. The Mishnah says they're still forbidden to be worn as kilayim, because at least while the linen thread is sewn into the woolen garment, or vice versa, you have a kilayim in your garment, they're woven together, and that becomes asur. Okay, that's the first topic. The second topic of our Mishnah now is very fundamental. It asks the question, or answers the question, what constitutes something that's sewn together? That is to say, how many stitches or what stitches are required to say that two pieces of fabric are attached? And that will have numerous consequences in halacha. So for the sake of the picture in your mind, just imagine you have, like, say, two sheets, one of wool, one of linen. So they're independent. But now you start taking a thread and stitching them, sewing them together. So what would that mean? Just imagine, let's say, you have two parallel sheets, and you take a needle and thread, and you come, let's say, from the left side, come from the left side of the wool, and then penetrate through to the left side of the linen. So if you imagine now the wool and linen sheets are touching each other, and they have a single thread running through them all the way through from left to right. That's called techiva achas, or tekifa achas, meaning one insertion of the needle. And the Mishnah says, when it comes to considering if those two woolen linen sheets are attached together, a single tchiva, or tchiva, a single insertion of the needle would not constitute that these two sheets of woolen linen are attached to one to the other. And that's what the Mishnah says here. It says, hatochef tchiva achas. If one inserts a single insertion, you know, of the needle through one side, then eno chibor. That doesn't constitute a chibor of these two sheets, the wool linen sheet together. Now, the first point of the Mishnah here is actually not true with kilayim at all. The second phrase will be ve'ein ba mishum kilayim. There's not a problem with kilayim yet. But the chibor issue is a question of tum and tahara. When something is mechubar, attached, in terms of the legal sense of attachment, it means it shares a single status with respect to both the receiving of tuma and the, you know, becoming tower, the relinquishment of tuma status. So if something is mechubar, attached, let's say, hypothetically, we're saying these two things are not attached, which means, let's say, for example, you have a dead rat, which is the av hatuma. If it touches and you have these two sheets, the wool linen sheet, and they have a single thread going through from one side, from one through to the other, so a single tchifa. So then, if a dead rat touches the woolen sheet, so the rat was the av, the woolen sheet is a rishon, but the linen that's touching the wool would be, so to speak, if it could be, it would become a sheni of the tumah, meaning it doesn't share the same rishon status as the wool. As it happens, there's no such thing, meaning, in fact, if the dead rat touched the woolen sheet, so then the wool becomes tame as a rishon, and the linen, even though it's attached, so to speak, physically with a single thread through it, doesn't become tamei at all. It stays tahor, even though they're touching, there's a thread between them, because they're not considered to be mechubar, they don't share a single status. In contrast, if they had been mechubar, if there was a chibor, as we'll see in what would be required to make that happen in a moment, but if it had happened, then the dead rat would touch, let's say, the wool, but since they're mechubar, it's a single garment, and when the wool becomes a rishon, simultaneously, so does the linen. In other words, just so to speak, if you have a, you know, if you have a pair of trousers, a pair of pants, and if the left pant leg touches the dead rat, of course the right pant leg becomes just as tummy as the left pant leg because it's a single pair of pants. So that's because the pants, you know, the left and right are mukhubar, they're attached one to the other. So we're saying here that a single insertion of a needle doesn't effect a chibur, so that the wool and linen sheets are not attached and don't share a tumah status. And the same would go in terms of the relieving it of tumah status. So for example, if these sheets had been exposed to a dead, they were in the same room as a dead body, and now they were tummy from tumas mace, they could be an ava tumah now even. So they're both tummy. If you take the one of the requirements to remove tumah from garments is sprinkling the mechatas, water with ashes of the paran duma. Forget the technicalities, it doesn't matter now. But sprinkling the water onto, let's say, the woolen sheet has no relevance on the purification of the linen sheets. They're not attached. If they had been a chibur, so then you'd sprinkle on one or the other and would be equally effective for both, much as if you sprinkle on the left pant leg, the right pant leg becomes tougher just as much as the left pant leg. So, ein chibur means there's no attachments for tumah purposes, both the transmission, sharing of tumah status, or the relieving it of tumah status by a single trifa, a single thrust of the needle. Ve'en ba mishum kilayim. Second point is that there's no problem with kilayim here. If one, you know, could wrap those garments around his arm, the two sheets of wool and linen, since they're not attached, even with a single thread doesn't constitute attachment, single trifa, single thrust of the needle, and therefore there's no kilayim problem. And third of all, v'ashomta b'shabas patur. If one would now detach the wool from linen sheets, let's say rip them apart, or undo that thread, that single thread insertion, on Shabbos, even for the constructive purpose of intending to like re-sew it in another way. So when you tear things apart, fabric apart for the sake of retying it again, and that's the malacha doraisa of korea, of tearing, and it's an isra doraisa, which carries the regular liabilities of all Shabbos violation midoraisa. But the point here is that if you just have a single insertion of the thread going through from the wool to linen, if you pull that apart on Shabbos, you're not liable midoraisa because they never were attached in the first place, so that's not called being korea, not tearing them apart. On the other hand, asa shnei rosha litzad echad, which means literally if you make both of its ends on a single side, so now we have two thrusts of the needle. You took the wool and linen sheets, you took that thread and needle and thread, and you inserted it once going from left to right, and then you inserted it a second time going back from right to left. So now you have both ends of the needle and thread on the same side of the two, and they've been sort of each, they've had two insertions, one in and one out of the needle and thread. Provided that, according to the Bartanura, provided that you then tie the two ends together into a knot, so now you've established with that in and out again, that single stitch that was tied in the ends together, now you've formally attached halachically these two sheets, and now, in contrast to the first cases, first of all, chibur, they are connected in terms of tumah and tahara, so they share tumah status, from the dead rat and one to the other, or the mechatas, the sprinkling of the red heifer ashes, water, they get purified one to the other at the same time. V'yeshba mashum kilayim. Now there is a kilayim prohibition on this garment, so you couldn't wrap the wool and linen sheets over your arm because they're attached with a single stitch. Vashon to b'shabbos chayiv. If one would rip them apart on Shabbos for the sake of constructive use, he'd be liable to bring a chatas, etc. He's breaking Shabbos midoraisa. Yeah, and that's that. Okay. That's halacha. Rabbi Yehuda, however, omer ad shi shalesh. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, in and out is not enough. You have to go in and out and in again, meaning you go, you know, three insertions from left to right, right to left, and left to right again. Rabbi Yehuda, does not require that the ends be tied together. It's sufficient just the three insertions of the needle with thread to constitute a chibur. But again, the halacha is like the previous shita that you need to do it just once in and once out, two insertions. But according to the Bartanur anyways, you must tie the two ends together to a knot to form a formal connection. Fine. The last case, the Mishnah, is really like a loose end, if you'll forgive the pun. We talk here about hasak vakupa when it comes to a sack. Sack is made of goat hair, like a sack made of goat hair or something like that. Va'kupa, kupa is like a basket, like a wicker basket. Mitzdarfen le'kilayim, they combine for kilayim. So according to Bar Tanura, the case is quite an unusual case. Let's say you just had two utensils, a sack and a wicker basket. But let's say you had attached them, let's say handles made out of fabric. Let's say, I don't know what, for hanging them on the wall or something. And one of them, let's say your sack had a woolen handle, woolen fabric attached to the sack. And your kupa, your basket, had a linen fabric attached to it, you know. And then you tied those together or sewed those, you bound those, you know, sewed them together or wove them together. The wool and linen ends. So then the whole sack and the whole kupa all become part of the kilayim problem. Meaning just like for argument's sake, you couldn't cover yourself with the sack to keep warm because that would be kilayim. Even though there's no actual, let's say, you know, there's no, let's say, linen on you at all. The linen's all on the kupa side and it's not even touching you. It doesn't matter. They are mitzaref. The whole thing becomes one kli, one utensil, and it has kilayim in it. So the whole kli is forbidden to use to cover you, to keep you warmer, you know, carry it on your back and something like that. That's how the bartender learns. Unusual, but that's how he learns, like many other Rishonim. The Rama has a totally different pshat in this last line of the Mishnah. He understands it totally differently, which is if you'd have kilayim inside, like a wool linen woven together, but it's inside a basket or inside a sack, doesn't matter, says he, you wouldn't be able to carry that basket or sack on your back or on your legs to keep you warm, even though there's no fabric touching you directly at all. You've just got like the sack or the kupa, the basket. Since within it is kilayim, somehow they unify and combine the kilayim inside the basket to make it a single kind of kli that constitutes kilayim, but again, that's the Rama's approach. The Shulchan Aruch actually does postulate the former approach. Like, that is to say, the Shulchan Aruch poskens, if you'd have this strange case of the sack and the basket, each with fabrics of wool and linen respectively, and then combined, sewn together, one would not be allowed to cover his legs, let's say, for warmth with the sack, since it's attached to a basket that has, you know, wool and linen combined. And with that, we finish Maseches Kilayim, Maseches Kilayim, and Bez Hashem, next we will begin Maseches Shviyos.